And it's 10 o'clock on KHNS. You're listening to Community Radio for the Upper Lynn Canal. Coming up next, Art Matters, brought to you by the Alaska Arts Confluence, aiming to inspire a culture of collaboration by supporting artists and the arts for residents and visitors of the Chilkat Valley. On Main Street in Ains and online at alaskaconfluence.org. I'm Kate Clements. With me is
Heather Lendy.
Heather Lendy, good day. And the following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the board of directors and staff of Lynn Canal Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. Okay, we got the business out of the way. What's up, Heather?
Oh, I love Joni's out cue there. You know, it's a good day, and it says, you know, throw out your pills and take a deep breath. It's February. We made it.
We made it.
The light is coming back.
Some of us have made it.
Maybe the fairies are coming back. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe. If you're in Juneau listening online, hello.
Oh, my goodness. No, we have a good show today.
A really good show.
Kind of heart-healthy show about, we're going to be talking with Candace Cahill over in Skagway first. Her artwork and about a special event coming up there on Friday night. And then we also have Kelly Mitchell coming in, one of the first Friday artists, to talk about her work that will be on display at the brewery here in Haines. And Pam Sloper's going to come by from Search, Wise Woman, to talk about a neat event, Search and Body IQ, she and Marnie Hartman are doing up at the Tower in the Fort.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's about... Like the song says, breathing, and you're going to paint some rocks.
Have a good day.
I can't wait to hear about that. And also, we're going to find out about some blind dates with books.
I love that one. Okay, well, it looks like we have Candace here. Shall we bring her up?
Sure.
Hi, Candace. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, nice to meet you, Candace. This is kind of a first for me. I'm talking to somebody that I haven't quite met, and we're on the phone, so you'll have to help me to make this all work right. And I think the first thing that I would like you to do, if you can, is what every visiting artist does here on Lynn Canal Art Matters, is introduce yourself in the way that you'd like to. Tell us what you'd like us to know about you.
Okay. Well, my name is Candace Cahill, and I've been in Skagway for a little over 20 years now. And it's always funny to talk to people who have been here for a long time and we don't know each other, and it, I think, is just a testament to kind of a little bit how reclusive I might be. my husband and I have a small, business that started out as a hobby and has slowly progressed to be more than a hobby, but we kind of look at it as any profits we make, we put back in the business as a way to support our habit, is the way we put it. But I'm a silversmith, self-silversmith, and Tom is a wood and, like, bone and ivory turner. He turns on a lathe. And together we try to come up with creative and new ways to make functional art. I do a lot of jewelry, both with silver and fossil ivory. He does beautiful handmade pens and bowls and platters. So we try to make things that are both beautiful to look at, but things that you can use in everyday life.
And the ivory that you use, where do you get it from?
Okay, so all the ivory we use is fossil. So it's either fossil walrus ivory or fossil mammoth and mastic ivory. And we source that from a couple of different places. The mammoth and mastodon ivory mostly comes from Bruce Schindler, who does a lot of work from here in Skagway. He's getting most of his up in Dawson City. It's a byproduct kind of the gold mines. And the walrus ivory, Tom's been fortunate enough to go up to St. Lawrence Island and go directly to the sources up there. So the people living on the island and the shores, the north shores of Alaska, they still hunt walrus, and they subsistence hunt, they eat the animals, they use the fresh ivory in their artwork. But I can't use fresh ivory, Tom can't use fresh ivory, because we're not Alaska Native, but we can use the fossil. So they also dig up old bone and old ivory to sell to people like me and Tom. So he has gone up, gotten the ivory, and then brings it back, and then we can work with it down here.
Hey, if you don't mind my asking, what's your story? How did you two end up in Skagway?
Tom and I have known each other since early high school. We actually think we had swimming lessons together when we were in first grade, but we don't have actual proof of it. We're originally from Minnesota, but we knew each other through high school, kind of went our separate ways, and ended up reconnecting in our late 20s and started dating, and decided that we needed to be a bit adventurous. Tom had been on almost a two-year-long bicycle trip that took him from basically Canada to Mexico. He went over to Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Hawaii, Tahiti. He, you know, was gone for a long time. And when we got together and dated, I said, hey, that sounds like something I'd like to do. So we went on a bicycle trip. And we bicycled from central Minnesota, from where we're from, the headwaters of the Mississippi, all the way down to West Memphis, across Texas, down into Mexico, across Mexico, came back up into the States, found ourselves in Northern California, and decided, you know what, we're kind of running out of time because we wanted to get to Alaska before the end of the year. And so we bought a car, slowly made our way up to through Canada, and it just kept breaking down. It was a lemon. And so we got to the turnoff where you could continue going on the Alaska Highway towards Whitehorse, or you can turn and left and go to Skagway. And we thought, you know, it's Alaska. We should get back into the United States. I'm sure they've got a car repair place there that could help us out. Little did we know that Skagway was so small. We showed up into town on, I think it was June 5th. It was a beautiful, sunny, bright, beautiful day, calm. I mean, it was the most beautiful drive into town, and we drove in, and we were like, wow, this is amazing. We ended up hooking up with an acquaintance's friend who said, you should stay and work here for the summer, you know, and we're like, okay, and well, we're still here.
That's a great story. And also, because this is radio, and I haven't really seen your art. I looked online a little bit, but can you describe what your pieces look like, or how you make them? Or
okay, so my work is I've kind of got several kind of areas that I do. I have a line of work that is predominantly just silver, so it would be things like cut out designs of trees or flowers. I've got cast pieces that are whale tails and hummingbirds and trying to get bears, you know, some more of the kind of the Alaskan theme. Those mm-hmm. are like smaller pieces, but those are cast. So one whole line of cast silver, one line that's just kind of hand cut out pieces. And then I like to use uniquely shaped gemstones and ivory. So Tom will make me like ivory cabochons. I'll custom set those and then add beads to them. And I really like using big, chunky.
Hey, Candace,
yes?
can you, for those of us that, what's a cabochon?
Oh, a cabochon. So there's two different types of stones that often people will work with gemstones. There are gemstones that are faceted, and that's usually what diamonds. They have all those little edges to them.
Mm-hmm.
A cabochon is usually flat on the bottom, and there's just a dome on the top. Mm-hmm. So real, real soft and just domed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good word to know, cabochon.
I know.
Cabochon, yes.
Okay.
Now, here's a thought. I know in Haines, there are people who, you know, basically will tell you that the community, the environment, the whole scene inspires them. Do you find that in Skagway, and how so?
Yeah, I absolutely find that living here is inspiring pretty much in every way. I mean, just the incredible beauty that I get to wake up to every day. I know, and the weather, I mean, it's cold right now, but the cold...
the weather?
it's part of the beauty. It's
yes.
part of the change. I love the changes that take place throughout the year. It helps to feed me in different ways for both kind of my creative and, I guess, spiritual sense. But also the people. I mean, I have not spent a lot of time in Haines, but here in Skagway, we have an incredibly creative and inspiring a community, mm-hmm. who people who do all kinds of different things, and they're always, always willing to share their knowledge and their inspiration, and they're super encouraging. And I just love that.
Now, you're also a singer. You're in the Hot Toddies.
Yes, yep.
And how, you know, does that, that whole act of singing and breathing and being, you know, even performing, does that also add to the, I don't know, your well-being overall?
Yeah, I definitely think so. That being a part of the Hot Toddies has been a super fun experience. We mostly play during the summer, because members are, you know, kind of here and gone throughout the winter. But, yeah, music and performance has been an integral part of that, and it is so much fun to perform live in front of people. And in terms of music, that's been one of my winter projects this winter, is I'm working to record my original music, which I've wanted to do for years but just kind of always put off. So that's been a fun and challenging and brand new to do, yeah.
I also, you know, you talked about riding your bicycle a lot, and you're a runner. You do
yeah.
a lot of running,
yeah.
And does that, how does that influence your artistic life?
Well, I run more than I bike. I mean, the bicycling was really all about traveling, so I don't do a lot of biking here, but I do a lot of hiking and running. My process, kind of my daily routine, is I, for the most part, have to get outside at some point, or at least be active. And it's a kind of I guess the best way to put it is almost like a moving meditation. And it's a really integral part of creating the best mindset I can every day. And being able to be outside then just feeds that inspiration. And even, you know, even on cold days, although too windy lately to run outside, but even on colder, windier days, I still try to get out, because there's an electricity and energy in the air that is really important to helping me feel good every day.
Do you have a favorite run in Skagway?
You know, I really love going up to the lake, like hiking up to Lower Lake and then going around the lake and coming back down. That's a favorite for me. I've been liking to go out running out onto the Dai Road, and if you get down to Long Bay, it's such a beautiful view down the Lynn Canal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long does it take you to go up and down to the lake?
I can usually go up and around and come back down in less than an hour.
Uh-huh. So yeah. That works out pretty well then for you.
Yeah, it's a great timing.
Now, you're also part of a kind of, it sounds like almost a First Friday type event coming up in Skagway on Friday night. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, so this is something that kind of came up spur of the moment, or, you know, we've been talking about it for a little while, and talking with the gentleman at Bites on Broadway, and they'd been wanting to find a way to bring artists in, so... Yeah, so this was just kind of a fun opportunity to go in, both show my work and kind of connect with a couple of other artists that'll be showing their work too.
And who are they? Can you tell us a little about their work by chance?
Yep. So one is Gladys Moran. Gladys has been here, I'm pretty sure, her whole life between here and Carcross, and maybe gone in and out a few times. But she does a variety of things. My personal favorite is she's got a rhubarb chutney hot sauce. It's like a hot sauce. That's really delicious.
The art of chutney.
Yeah. So she does several different kinds, cherry, pineapple, orange, rhubarb. So she'll have her hot sauces for sale. So they're both like sweet and hot, which is why I like them. She does homemade peanut brittle, and she's going to be making a special gourmet bread, little gourmet bread loaves for tomorrow, and she also does handmade cards and some little purses, so just a really great variety, colorful, fun, and tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other artist is Linda Van Houten. Linda does felted wool, beautiful hats and mittens, and she's been doing some fleece tops, so great textile work And her hats are like the warmest hats ever. Yeah, you can go skiing in these and 30 below, and you have to take them off. You get so hot. So, and they're beautiful.
And who's the fourth? Thomas?
Nope, so they're just the three.
Just the three of you. And it's at Bites on Broadway, and it begins at what time?
It's Bites on Broadway, and I should have pulled this up, but it's actually not Friday night. It is Friday afternoon from noon to 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice time, actually.
Yeah, noon to 2. I'm trying to pull it up quick on my phone to make sure I have it right. Yes, noon to 2. And we kind of dubbed it a sweetheart kind of event because Valentine's Day is right around the corner. So it's perfect timing for people to come in and find a little something nice for people they love and have it be made locally, you know?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
Candace, you know, it sounds, especially as we, from the Haines side, listening to the news stories about Skagway through KHNS and also the visits back and forth and things like the Northwoods Writers Conference and the retreat at DAI and the films that go on at the Park Service, the events at the library and the rec center, that Skagway's having a kind of a revitalization of sorts with the, especially during the winter.
Yeah.
With the community. Do you think, is that something that you sense is purposeful in Skagway, or is it more organic? Has it just happened? Or are you and others, even through events like this, working, towards making more things happen to make the town less seasonal and more year-round?
I think I believe that there has been a purposeful, thought behind this to find ways to get people out and be active, but really tap into their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of that is the local artists wanting to spread spread their knowledge as well as just connect with people. You know, I think at least around here and the people that I talk to, there's been a lot of talk about how it's so easy to disconnect now. I mean, people use their phones and the internet and the computers, but actually wanting to sit down with people, learn how to paint something in a group of 10 is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And every time an event happens, people they're just encouraged to do it again because of how much fun they have doing it.
Yeah, I think I think art and art events are a great way to bring people of all sort of talents, abilities, perspectives together, having some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Candace, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I've just been kind of throwing this off the cuff, so hopefully covered everything you wanted to cover I'm really glad, and thank you for the opportunity to do this.
Hey, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Just sort of struck me, and I'm always curious when we talk to artists. I think I have time for this. Can you describe your studio and how you go to work and what you do when you do it? Are you doing it at your kitchen table, or do you have a lovely little cabin in the backyard, or what's your scene?
Well, I... The important part is to get up and get dressed, because I do the artwork at home. I mean, a lot of times this is done weekends and evenings kinds of thing, but my workshop is actually in the small spare bedroom of the house that we live in, and my workshop is also the storage area for the freezer and extra food goods. But it's just a small little space. I don't need a big space. I've got a bench, I've got a table for beading, and I've got a polishing wheel, and basically a storage shelf for beads and materials. And that's what my workshop looks like. Fortunately, this room has a big window that faces to the south. So when it is light and sunny, I get that light, which I do find to be really important. And if it's too bright, which does sometimes happen when I'm soldering, I just can put down a big blind to block it out so I can see better. But yeah, it's a great little space, and I try to commit myself to working, set up a schedule to a certain extent where I, you know, do my workout, you know, take care of the dog, go for a walk with her, sit down at my bench and try to sit down for 3 hour stretches with, you know, short breaks so that I don't hurt my back, and to try to stay focused that way.
Yeah. Do you listen to music or have any other kind of entertainment?
I definitely listen to music. I also sometimes do have a TV and a DVD player. I like throwing in old movies because I love the soundtracks because I can't watch, but I like that. And, you know, I have a guitar back there so that if I feel inspired to just practice or play or write something, I've got it right at my fingertips. And so sometimes I'll just sit and sing.
And one more thing, because you do have a shop as well, don't you, in Skagway?
You mean like to sell?
Yeah.
No, we don't. We wholesale to a couple of different stores in town. And up until just a year ago, we sold just in Kermsey's. So when Kermsey's closed, we now sell in a couple of different places in town. But otherwise, we just have a website, and that was one of my big projects. Other big projects this winter was to get a website up and running with an e-commerce store site.
Uh-huh. And do you find, and here, just a thought about, you know, the difference between art and kind of production, you know, to sell. Is there a time sometimes when you get, like, it feels repetitive, or do you feel, you know, is there a... Do you always feel like you're being creative, or do you sometimes feel like you're just working technically to put things together?
There is times for both, because I do feel that in order for business to be successful and to be able to make money, to be able to keep it, you know, functioning, I do have to have kind of what I call the bread and butter items.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that can get more repetitive. But the nice thing is like, if I'm making... you know, maybe 50 pairs of fossil ivory earrings, every single pair is different because there's no two pieces of ivory that are the same.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that is now repetitive is the line that I have that are cast pieces. Those are the same. But, again, I felt like that was an okay bread and butter item because it's something that people are asking for all the time. And rather than give them an option of buying something that was made in China, I can give them an option that was something that was made locally.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I definitely have times when I want to do something completely wild and crazy and creative and off the wall, and I give myself permission to do that when I'm inspired to do it, but always remaining cognizant of the fact that I do have to have a selection of things, smaller things available.
All right. Well, do you have any advice for any other working artists out there that are thinking of taking the leap, you know, to up a notch?
I guess I feel like you have to do it. You just have to be willing to kind of take the risk and put yourself out there, and it can be super fun as well as being really just makes you feel like you grow, I guess. It can still be a bit scary. And still, I find myself being scared about it sometimes, but I think it's well worth it. And it doesn't really, you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to go gung-ho, you know, great big, you know, I'm going to open a whole store kind of thing. No, just start little. Buy a few tools, something that you're interested in, and give it a go.
All right. Thank you very much, Candace. It's nice to meet you. I hope I meet you in person sometime.
Well, thank you. And again, thanks for the opportunity, and hopefully we'll see a bunch of people out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. At Bites on Broadway, noon to 2.
Noon to 2, yes.
All right. Thanks, Candace.
All right.
Well, you're listening to Art Matters on KHNS and with Heather Lendy and myself, Kate Clements.
Kate Clements. And we're, you know, the library in Haines is got a great feature. Lizzie Jergelite has put together a blind date with a book. And the books are wrapped.
I like
and
this.
You don't know what's in them. It begins today.
Has and a little bit of a description on it.
Little hint, like mystery, mm-hmm. a novel. Nonfiction.
Yes.
And also inside of these wrapped books, when you check them out, there's a slip to rate your date.
A little survey.
A little survey. And that's going to go in a little jar, and those will be drawn to win chocolate. So, I mean, this is like...
Yeah, it's, fair. It's perfect. It's just like a date.
Yeah, and Lizzie told me that she tried to get a variety of books that people had recommended. Now, what's a really good book? What's a nice book to spend some time with? And that's how pretty much...
I wondered how they chose them.
Yeah, she said she looked around and, you know, some of the notes in the stacks, but also what different people who come in the library, what books they really like, she asked. And so she picked them out of that. And she said there's about 50 of them right now that they wrapped. And
it's a beautiful display, actually. It's really well done. You can tell her artistic you know, nature in there because it is the brown paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
But
wrapping, but it's pretty.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But it's nicely done. And I loved going around reading some of the descriptions, and then I, you know, made a choice.
Well, you know, favorite things, brown paper packages tied up with string.
That's right.
And she also, my favorite advice from Lizzie on this is that if you have a bad date, you can return it. And I haven't done one of these yet, and I was looking around for a couple people that had when I walked in, and there's a couple people right here, including Abby Collins, the KHNS news editor, senior reporter.
Hello.
Abby, so you've picked one of these. You've had a blind date with a book?
I did. I picked one that said humorous and wry and witty.
And
so we went on our first date last night.
How was it?
Me and Sloane Crossley, who is the author of I Was Told There'd Be Cake. First date was pretty good.
All right.
I mean, it falls right into my favorite category of books, which is the powerful lady memoir. But, you know, you never know. The second date sometimes surprises you with
you
how
may have
terrible
gotten everything you needed at the first date.
Right, exactly. So we'll see.
And so you just, how did you pick it? When you walked in and you looked at all those wrapped books, what drew you to that particular book? Just the note on it or the size or was there
a
anything?
A little bit of both. Yeah, the note on it, but also I'm reading another book right now, so I wanted one that was a little bit shorter, easy to read. So
what's the subject of this one?
It's about her life.
Ladies' memoir. Right,
living in New York City.
She's kind of young, kind of funny, kind of a little racy or...
I don't know. I haven't gotten to racy yet, but maybe.
I don't know. I'm just thinking Sex in the City, you know, New York. I don't know.
But definitely a fun woman living on her own in New York.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see. I'm only about 30 pages in, so.
So, Abby... You're doing all the news. You're coming to all the borough assembly meetings and school board meetings and different events. And how do you have time to read?
I like to spend a few minutes in the morning with my breakfast at the fire. I read in little spurts, like 30-page segments. Sometimes I was sitting here the other night during the State of the Union, half listening to the State of the Union, half reading my book. You just find little pockets of time.
So for you, reading is actually kind of a form of meditation in a way to get out of the news cycle or the instant information from your phone and the computers and your work that I imagine is sort of poking you a lot.
Mm-hmm. I tend to read novels and essays and things that just take me to an entirely different place.
Okay, I'm curious as to how this date goes for you, and
I'll let you know.
And then and if you know, also Lizzie did say you can get another one too. You don't have to just have one date.
I can exchange for a different date.
You can exactly.
If only real life.
Now
was that
and
easy.
Kay, you've done this too, right?
Yeah, I picked one up last night, which was I you know, I always drop by the library, sort of trolling, and. saw the display and I was like, oh, last time I had a pretty good, last time they had it, I got Lauren Hillenbrand and...
Oh, she's good.
Yeah.
Which one was it? The horse one or the Unbroken?
Unbroken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd never read her. And so I really enjoyed that. So I was looking around and I'm, I really like World War II, World War I stories. And so, you know, I kind of considered a couple of those, and then I was like, no, I'm going to go something else. So I ended up with I think it's called The Light Housekeeping. I just unwrapped it this morning, so I haven't really, you know, the date is, I'm just still dressing for it kind of thing.
And how do you, when do you read and how do you like to read?
Oh gosh, I read all the time. I don't sleep very well, so I read a lot at night. And I read in the evenings, sometimes in the early mornings, and I always have a book with me. I always have something either on the Kindle or in my bag. When I was in college one time, one of my teachers said that, don't ever go anywhere without a book because, you know, you're standing in lines. He always had one in his back pocket. This was in the time of those smaller
pocketbooks. Pocketbooks. Pocket remember, books. there was a whole publisher that made pocketbooks, right.
So I just always seem to have about five or six things going with that.
I always think of that line in, Dylan Thomas is a child Christmas in Wales, and the house is on fire, and the firemen are all there, and there's snowballs, and they've ruined Christmas, and the little aunt comes out and says, would anyone like something to read? Well, they're all just like, what do we do now? We've ruined the trees steaming and the thing. But it's a meditation. It's a nice thing to offer somebody something to read.
It is.
Well, I'm going to have to get a blind date with a book. I'm reading my date was wide open. My current library book is Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh,
which
who's that by?
I don't remember the woman's name. Mm. I should have written it down. She's a young author, Yale graduate. It's her first novel, and it's terrific, and it's won all kinds of awards. And it's interesting. It takes place in suburban Shaker Heights, and I'm not from Ohio and didn't know much about that. So, and it's kind of a date with a couple of families that I'm getting to know. So,
I love that. And the thing is, you can just go pick up, you know, take it back. I figure it's a no risk date.
Yeah.
You know, because you take it, you open it, already read it, or don't want to, next.
I've seen this before.
You know, I think, too, you know, I write, right? And I always think, gosh, do people just sometimes throw my book over their shoulder, one of them, and just say, forget it? And I think they should if they don't like it. People are surprised. Like, I feel under no obligation to keep reading a book that that's not doing it for me. And yet there are books that I've stopped years ago and then gone back to and found mm-hmm. that I just love them. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
So there's, it's, you know, this timing. Whole blind date with the book, there's timing with books. And there's...
Just as with people.
Just as with people. So you just never know. You could have a great date. And speaking of which, I did want to tell you, because you said World War I and World War II and a good date with a book. One of my favorite easy book dates is... Jacqueline Winspear and her Maisie Dobbs series that take place all in that time frame in England.
And Ian Rutledge, too.
I haven't read Charles Ian Rutledge.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Come
but
on.
I know. That's what I mean. There's so many. There are so many.
I'm of the mystery genre, especially of all of the European ones. Mm-hmm. Ask me anything.
Okay, well, Jacqueline Winspear, then, if people are looking for a nice date that takes place between World War I and II, that is...
That sounds so funny.
It's good. Yeah. Okay. Kelly Mitchell's coming up next.
That's right. You're listening to Art Matters on KHNS. All right, you're listening to Art Matters. I'm Kay Clements here with Heather Lindy. Actually, it's Heather's show. I'm just sort of hosting.
It's fluid. This is art. And as I always have to say every time, too, if people are listening and saying, how do I get on there? And I call us.
Right.
This is, we kind of move around every time. It's informal. It's creative. It's more right brain than left brain. So.
And we always run out of time.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a quick rundown of some things that are happening on this first Friday. And we heard about the Sweetheart Market in Skagway that's happening tomorrow between noon and 2 at Bites on Broadway. Tonight, Thursday, February 1st, we've got the story of the Chilkat Tlingit Lands, Part 2 and 3. That's a Culture Day film screening at the Haynes Library.
And that's at 6:30.
Yeah, and Klekwan Library co-director Jamie Katzik will be there introducing it.
I hope so. Jamie's under the weather a little bit.
Oh, is she?
Oh. Anyway, she maybe is better by now.
Let's hope so. February 2nd, around town in Haynes, 5 to 7 p.m., we have Alaska Positive, traveling photography show. That's the Sheldon Museum. There's a lot going on in
there. Featuring
that.
John Hagen.
Oh, is it?
Fisherman John Hagen and President of the Chamber of Commerce has a photograph from the juried exhibit that is traveling around the state that's in there.
That's great. That's
so that's kind of
my
nice.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Carolyn's Closet and Babbling Book, wide selection of books by local authors, including some copies of Dan Henry's Across the Shaman's River. And I know people...
I've been waiting for mine, so yeah. I'm going to run in and get it tomorrow
yeah.
night.
And it's signed copies of your books, Heather.
There you go.
Also open for First Friday. And just to note, the new owner of the Babbling Book hopes to continue the... opening, signing, special events as opportunities come up. So that's kind of fun. Alaska Rod's featured artist is Rob Martin, hand-carved silver and copper Tlingit jewelry. Skipping Stone Studios' featured artist is Hannah Bocart, Cupids and Tin Cans. So we don't know what that is, but live music by Ari Marquardt. Haynes Brewery featuring Kelly Mitchell coming right up here. Acrylic portraits of loved ones of the pet variety. I can't wait to see that.
I know. You're going to get, like, commissions. Anyway, yeah. We'll talk about this.
Art on
all
Main
the crazy
Street.
Dog people.
We've got a sneak preview and early bidding on dozens of artful hearts created by locals to benefit the sale, which is the Southeast Alaska
Independent Living. Great organization that helps people stay in their homes.
It's really amazing. Yeah.
It's really cool. They are wonderful people.
And there's their gala is 6:30 p.m. Next Saturday, February 10th at Harriet Hall. But you can pick up your tickets tomorrow if you're around town because Babbling Book has some sale office, Alaska Arts Confluence. And then we're also going to be talking about heart healthy awareness. We can come to that later.
Yeah, we're going to have Pam Sloper's going to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, gosh, there's so many things going on, but I guess we should get to Kelly maybe and then...
Well, I do have two. Time. I actually have a couple.
Oh,
another
okay.
one.
Oh,
you know,
I want to say something.
There's so many. And we're here. Don't worry, Kelly. You're here. It's nice to see her. She's looking really good and just getting warmed up in here. Anyway, you know, it's nice to wear an evening dress to one of these. Nobody else does.
Yeah. I really appreciate that.
There's a dinner and a show. Featuring the Haynes Glacier Bards. The DDF team is hosting a lasagna dinner.
Right.
And they've got a dessert auction happening. I understand you may still be able to donate a dessert if you'd like to.
Probably.
There'll be performances. And that all begins at 6 in the school cafeteria. And I believe it's $12 for the whole thing, the meal, the fundraiser. And if you want to bid on a dessert, of course, you're on your own.
That'll be
with
fun.
With that. And the other thing is that Klekwan, the Assembly of God, is having a Valentine dessert social on Friday night at 6:30. And there'll also be photography. There's a photo booth, and you will be able to have your picture taken. So
that'll
if you want to get dressed up and have your picture with the sweetheart, that's happening in Klekwan on Friday night. And later on in the month in Klekwan, the weekends on February 10th and again on the 17th from 12:30 to 4:30, John Svensson of Haynes is going to be hosting a block print workshop at the Chilkat Quan Heritage Center. And so you can call Lonnie Hotch if you want to sign up for that. It's 767-5581.
One more for this weekend. We have to let you know the Log Cabin Ski Society. They've been doing some trail grooming at Log Cabin, and at the last update, 10K of trails groomed and track set. So that's really great. Kids
and we've
Loop,
just heard.
Father
right?
Mouchet.
Oh, go ahead. You tell it and I won't interrupt you again.
Like, I believe that. Father Mouche, Saldi In and Out, and Kaposi Cutoff are open. And then, of course, there's home basketball games for the Panthers against Cake this weekend.
And we just heard from Candace about the value of movement and meditation and clearing your head. And there's
that.
Also, in that vein, in Haines on Saturday, there's a master swim group is reforming, and there's a stroke clinic
what
from 12
mean?
To 1. It means that you're too old to be on the swim team, but you still want to.
I see.
So and you can, you know, if you're real active, you can join then master swim events and get times and those kind of things. But basically, it's like swim team for grown-ups and helps you at all different levels. You can, and this is a stroke clinic to help you learn how to swim better
and
breathe.
Without thinking
and,
of a stroke.
Oh no, it's not that kind of stroke. And I'll tell you one other thing from the swim meet last weekend that was funny. There was a little boy that I was timing, and there was a little boy there, and he was like one of the 8 and unders, and he was getting up to do it was a freestyle, you know, and it was backstroke. That's now I'm going to mess up the punchline. But he said it's backstroke, and I said, are you good at the backstroke? And he said, yeah, I'm better at it than the front stroke. Which, of course, anyway, had to be there, but it was good. That's good for my art, are those kind of conversations.
Yeah.
And Kelly, tell us about what you're multi-talented. Introduce yourself first the way you'd like to be introduced. How about that?
The way I'd like to be
yeah,
introduced.
Yeah, for people that don't know you, for people that,
well,
your
for,
art, your...
For this first Friday, because this is the second first Friday that I've done this. This has been a busy winter for art, but for this first Friday, I must be Birdie's Walker because of the subject of Birdie being my dog.
Okay.
I am a, you know, like all Alaskans, Native people introduce themselves by their heritage. The rest of us introduce ourselves by how long have you been here? Since I was 2. My dad was very allergic to animals, so as soon as I left the house, I got pets. Valentine's Day, loved ones, pet portraits. And many people already know this, but Paul doesn't allow dogs in the brewery because dogs carry mold. So I've
right,
done
and
a
that's
whole
not
bunch
good
of
for
pet
beer.
Portraits to hang in the brewery. 5 of them are commissioned. 3 of them are going back out to Svensson's. Their former dog, Whoopi, their current dog,
Dagny,
thank you, and their former cat, Zilla, will be hanging out there. I've also done Kim Chetney's, German Shepherd.
Right, she has a shepherd.
Yeah, and Julie Ray's little dog.
Gianna.
So, yeah, whole bunch of familiar dogs, whole bunch of not familiar dogs, and 2 cats so far. Cats are hard to do. Cats are sneaky.
And what inspired you to start? You obviously make jewelry, you do felted things, you do a lot of other kinds of art.
Like
when
I
did
said,
you decide
I've lived
to
in
do-
Alaska since I was 2. What do you do in the wintertime? The acrylic painting thing kind of picked up when I moved here. I did a lot of watercolor prior to that. I don't do oils because I don't want to deal with the solvents. Mm-hmm. Acrylics, picked them up here. Acrylics are super durable. I have a fish outside my house that has my house number on it, and it does great.
It hasn't peeled off like
that. Hasn't peeled off.
Paint on the house peels off.
The paint on the house is horrible. The address looks great. Except I didn't really know my address because when you buy a house in Haines, you get like 5 different addresses. My bills were all to 3 different addresses, so the address on the fish is currently wrong. I have to fix that.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
I just put on my other hat here. You know, the borough has got a new parcel viewer, and they're trying to get it all, the numbers all lined up.
When Tracy was still working here, I went in and I had 3 bills, and I said, so what's my address? And she used that thing, and she said, well, it can't be that one because there's not that many houses in Haines. And I was like, ooh. Got to fix that fish.
Okay, let's get back to your...
first Friday.
Yeah.
I have been painting lots and lots of landscapey type stuff, lots of flowers and all that kind of stuff, and I kind of looked over at the dog and I went, that would be kind of fun. She's all black. That was really difficult. A lot of not highlights in a black dog. So I decided to do something different. People have seen the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People have seen the flowers. People have seen the blueberries, lots of them. So I wanted to do something different because this is my second first Friday of this winter. Mm-hmm. It's been a kind of busy winter for painting and stuff, and I want to do something different. So, yeah.
Do you paint them? Do you paint the dogs and cats from
photos?
Just photos, not from life.
Not from life. They have a tendency to move around way too much. And it's really funny because when we look at our pets, we look at them from above and we take pictures from above. So you have to, if you want me to paint your pet, please get a photo that you like, because otherwise their heads get flattened, their faces get foreshortened, and it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Another question I have for you is, do you study other animal portrait painters, or look at other ones to sort of inspire you to help you do it? I know there's like a whole school of people who paint like horses, and then
I did not really when I look at this series, I see a lot of my own sense of humor in it, because we do tend to take funny foreshort, so there's a lot of dogs with really big noses.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't study anybody else to do this. I have a tendency to do a little seat of the pants type. Oh, I think I'll try this. And I end up with a dozen mistakes and then one that really works, and I get all inspired and paint over all the mistakes. And
have you seen the, Haynes has, we have that one really famous dog artist, Josephine Crumrine, I believe, who used to do the...
I don't know this.
Their pastels, you've seen them, the huskies, you know.
Oh,
that sort of iconic... Those portraits of huskies, yep. Mostly, and they were a lot of them used to be in the hotel, and I think the museum has some. But she painted Alaskan dogs, or did the, I think they're pastels. They might be paintings. I've seen the pastels more.
I do have one husky picture that looks an awful lot like a classic.
It might be one of hers. And
no,
she,
I mean one
yeah,
I painted.
One that you did, yeah. But she lived here, you know, and Fred Machenchance,
right.
Or whatever, he did those dogs
for
years.
Oh, my mother
years,
hated and, those things.
You know, that
purple huskies, she couldn't stand
but
that.
But they were very, you know, do you think there's something about uniquely to, you know, Alaskans and their dogs that we want to have pictures of them?
Yeah, well, I think we're a little bit obsessed with our pets. Just a tad.
All three of us are all. I know. I'm like that dog lady with the hair all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a black dog now, so I can wear a black sweater.
Well, notice nice. I'm wearing a white one because my dogs are white. So I'm like, all my dark clothes is just forget it.
Yep. Masking tape, lint rollers, the whole bit.
All right. Well, I think are we moving Pam in next to say
we
hi?
We are pretty quick.
But, thank you, Kelly, for coming.
I am definitely excited about this show. It's different stuff. People in Haines love dogs.
They do. People everywhere do. Yeah. I can tell you that when I, you know, used to write columns for the Daily News on a regular basis, about once every 6 months or so, my editor would say, write something about a dog. Everybody loves a dog. You know, and they're always
the
like the most popular columns. Bad dogs, even better than good dogs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Marley and Me. These are stories that people just, everybody loves a good animal story.
Bad dogs. My first dog was pretty bad. My current dog is pretty nice. It's hard to get used to having a nice dog.
Right. But even drawings of dogs that are bad dogs. I mean, those Charles Booth cartoons in the New Yorker.
Wonderful.
He's made a whole career out of dogs that are scratching their ears and covered with fleas and stuff.
So yeah, come see good and bad dogs.
So you'll be at the brewery?
I will be at the brewery
in Haines. Yes. Okay.
And starting five.
Kelly Mitchell.
Five.
Little reception.
The end. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming
Thank
in,
you.
Kelly. I'm looking forward to seeing them. And oh gosh, I think I'd be crazy if I start getting paintings of my animals. I don't know.
Nobody would ever know. It's just like casually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well,
I have a lot of them.
My husband has hunting trophies. I should be able to have dog
exactly.
pictures.
Give me a good photo. I can paint your dog.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, that's great. Hi, Dan. And Pam Sloper is here from Wise Woman Search, and you're going to tell us about this This morning I was writing about it. I blogged about the event. I think I called it something crazy. So if you could explain, it's like breathing and meditation and painting rocks. Tell me more about this.
A little bit of everything. Well, let me kind of tell you how this all started.
Yes, please.
The first Friday of February is Wear Red Day, which is a national day to bring awareness to. Not Friday though.
Oh, so first Friday we should
first
wear red.
Friday,
okay,
yeah,
that's good to know.
And
too.
It brings awareness to heart health for women because you know, for a long time it was thought that women didn't have heart disease, and you know it is the number one killer of women. So we're trying to get that out there, and so that's kind of how Marnie and I got into this first Friday. Since we needed to do some kind of event, we thought, well, why not do the art too? Mm-hmm. And you know, people enjoy art. That's got to be good for your heart.
It is good. We have determined that through our very unscientific studies on this program. Everybody seems to feel very good about art.
Right, right. And you know, even seeing other art makes people feel good. Mm-hmm. And anything that feeds your soul. So, and then so. The mindfulness, we thought we'd get a little practice in there. You know, what's good for your mind is also good for your heart.
So for people who aren't sort of versed in, who haven't done sort of the work involved in mindfulness or learning some of these relaxation techniques or just ways to deal with everything from just anxiety and stress to the little, you know, squirrel brain going on, what are some of the things that you two are going to do or recommend or explain to us to help?
Well, Marnie's just got some practices that I think she's going to recommend, mm-hmm. short little things that you can do. And, you know, I think that we used to always talk about meditation, and that really turns a lot of people off. They think they have to sit for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness is just it's kind of a form of meditation, but it can be just doing what you're doing. Like, for instance, when you're riding your bike, maybe there are times when you're very mindful of what mm-hmm. you're doing and
absolutely,
just you're in
yeah.
the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what the mindfulness is all about, being there in the moment. You know, it can help you eat better because you're mindful of what you're eating. It can help you exercise, get regular exercise because you're more mindful that you need it, get mm-hmm. the sleep that you need, all those things.
Right, or even like Abby, who was here earlier, who wakes up and reads from a novel first thing in the morning instead of, you know, checking the phone and the email
right,
and
right.
doing, you know, making your coffee and doing all these things at once. You just take a minute to start your day mindfully.
Right.
Or
right.
one would say quietly and purposefully would
yes.
be another word for it.
Yes.
I had a friend who said that one of the things, one of her, you know, and everybody, they call these practices, you know, one of her practices is to not answer the phone on the first ring, to not always be running or the first
yeah.
thing, but just wait,
mm-hmm.
like take a beat, you know, be ready for it, not walking or whatever, and sit down and answer it and be prepared to communicate rather than be eating your sandwich or driving or whatever else it is you're doing.
Right. And making it an interruption.
Right.
You know?
And actually in tuning into the conversation.
Right.
And I think
also being willing not to answer the phone.
Right.
You know, not to be at the beck and call of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
right.
they made answer voicemail.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes having taken some classes from Marnie and, you know, and yoga classes and where you know, you're lying on the floor thinking, and she talks about, you know, letting those, recognizing the thoughts that are coming in your head and acknowledging them, but just kind of watching them walk across that
mm-hmm.
stage and go out, you know, in one ear and out the other, just for that. Just a little bit of time.
Right.
And then
right.
I've read, too, about other people who, you know, are super-duper mindful people, like the Dalai Lama, you know, that, like you say, sit for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even say that if they get in a whole day of meditating, if they actually get a minute of quiet, that's a good day. So
right.
we're not alone
right.
if you're just beginning sort of these things, trying.
Exactly, exactly. And like you said, it's not, you know, your mind is not going to be quiet for very long. You're going to have things going in and out, but just to let them go in and out. And,
mm-hmm. Now, yeah. as a nurse and looking at the, you know, the whole heart issue, do they have any data to support this kind of stuff actually helps?
Well, I was, you know, I was just kind of reading a little bit before I came on, and yeah, I mean, the experts are saying that it definitely, anything that helps your mind helps your heart. You know, exercise is like the number one thing you can do for your brain health now. Well, it's the same thing with your heart, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It all goes together.
And then we're painting rocks. What's going to be on the rocks? Are they going to be heart rocks?
We thought we'd have something fun for people to do, too.
Well, but that's a mindful activity, too. When you paint, you have to pay attention. I mean, that's what we teach. That's my little children. It's so fun to watch them, you know, with their first little paint set, because it's a big deal to put the brush in and put it on and think about where the color's going. And it's a very mindful activity, and it's one that sometimes adults don't just sit around and say, let's paint some rocks for fun.
Rarely. Well, there's kind of there was a big movement here in Haines where people were painting hot rocks and hiding them. So I think that's where we kind of came up with
that idea. Yeah, and they do that in Juneau, too. And then that makes someone's heart feel good when they see it.
Right, when they find it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking when I saw this about painting rocks, I thought, aha, these are the people who've been hiding rocks everywhere. But
no.
We're going to do it, though. That's a lovely little trend of those people painting pretty rocks and leaving them in places in Juneau. And I've come across them, and even with my grandchildren there, and they'll pick them up. And you can bring them home and someone else puts one back.
Right.
That's a nice, a very nice thing to do.
Yeah. So you're also going to be having some live music.
Yes, live music. And we're going to have some artwork also.
With
on display?
Lucia.
Nascimento and Dwayne Bosch.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. And so they've got some carvings that they're going to bring over. And
also, too, if people haven't actually been up in the Body IQ studio, the tower, there, it's quite aesthetically pleasing in and of itself. It's a work of art to go in the building place, and see what you know, Joanne and Phyllis did with that, and how Marnie's using it. It's pretty pretty inspiring.
It is. It's a beautiful
space. Yeah. So
I just want to say the live music is going to be provided by Ben and Joe, and I think that's either Ben and Joe or Ben and JoJo, but both DJs here at KHNS as well.
Great.
Also, there is I did want to say that too. There's live music at the museum. Tonight and at the Alaska Positive exhibit, there's another band that is will be playing the piano.
And at the Skipping Stone Studios, Ari Marquardt's going to be playing. So
lots of music
around town.
That's good for your heart, singing. Oh, and too, I guess since we're on to music, the you know, the Alaska the Haines a cappella women's choir and the Men of Note have both sung the Star Spangled Banner recently, one at the basketball games and one at the swim meets. The men also got to sing O Canada. But I know some people heard that said, oh, how can we join that? Anybody can. The women's choir is 6 to 7 Thursday nights at the museum. Upstairs you go in the side door where the ramp is. The Men of Note meet same time, 6 to 7 in the senior village in the open area there, if you see.
Oh, yeah.
That
I've heard them one and, day. I was walking by.
Yeah, and Ben, I believe, is one of the new young Men of Note singers as well.
Great.
So.
Great. I don't really know Ben and Joe, so I'll
be
to
new.
See
him. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's Ben's brother is Joe as well, and then JoJo's girlfriend is. So it's always like
those
are
the guys that told
Joe's
the story at the River Talk, right? Was it one
so.
Of those that told a good story? Anyway, speaking of that too, if you'd like to sign up for River Talk, get in touch with Carol Tyman or the gang that organizes that.
Yeah, the next one is in February.
It's the third week in February, isn't it?
I believe it's a Thursday. Hold on one second. Here we go. It's Thursday, February 15th. Guardian Angels is the
day after Valentine's Day. Perfect.
Yeah. Sounds interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Pam.
Thank
and
you.
We're like getting at the end here, Kay.
Are yeah, we are.
Watching on the numbers, and she's in charge of the.
Keeps you on track.
Thanks, Pam. So that's tomorrow from 5 to 7 at the Fort in Haines.
Yes.
Oh, there's so many things to do. You're going to get your heart rate up just running from one to the next. Actually, don't run. Wear your ice grippers. Wow, there's a lot going on. That's like February, you know. It's like the light comes in and everybody comes out of the cave and says, let's get going, you know.
So much, and so much we didn't even get to that's happening at the end of February or next weekend and March. I know one thing here at the Chilkat Center, we do have the Quibi Sisters coming up, and they'll be in Skagway and in Haines. So. Mm-hmm.
And another quick thing I do want to remind everybody of is when you go to file for your permanent fund dividend, remember it's pick, click, give. And you can help arts organizations, you can help community, you can help social
everybody
organizations, animals, everybody. And that's really good for your heart.
All right. Thanks, Heather Lindy.